1 Corinthians 15. How many of you like mysteries on TV? 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to share with you an amazing mystery. Put your bookmark in 1 Corinthians 15. If you're using your cell phones, somehow, I don't know, mark it, because we'll always be coming back to this. It's the next section of Scripture. I'm just going right in order. I have no idea when these Scriptures are going to fall. I just know, okay, we're going to preach through 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I tell you a, what? A mystery. We will not all sleep. Now, he's not talking about sleeping at night, 8 hours, okay? He's talking about dying. Paul says, let me tell you a secret. Christians, listen up. I've got a secret for you, a mystery. We're not all going to die, but we're all going to be changed, the believers, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we, those of us that are still alive, we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't need to preach anymore. This is about the rapture. I love preaching on the rapture. Now, I know we will fight about when the rapture occurs. But as born-again believers, we believe it's going to happen. We just don't know, is it going to happen before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, next week, whatever. And you know, I personally believe it's going to happen before the tribulation. And that's a whole other sermon. But none of us can debate that this is going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come back. The dead in Christ will resurrect first. Those of us that are still alive when it happens are going to be transformed and will be caught up in the clouds. It is going to happen, just as the Word of God says. Verse 51, listen, I tell you a mystery. Now, mystery in the New Testament means it's something that was hidden in the Old Testament. It was a secret in the Old Testament, but has been revealed in the New Testament. So a mystery is something hidden in the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, fully revealed. And let me show you some other examples of mysteries. Of course, don't lose 1 Corinthians 15. Come to Colossians chapter 1. I'll share another mystery with you. Hidden in the old, revealed in the new. Colossians chapter 1. Here's another really neat. All the mysteries that have been revealed in the New Testament are just like amazing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. The Apostle Paul writes, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. What's verse 26? The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. This is a mystery. He's going to tell us a mystery that was hidden in the Old Testament for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the saints, to the New Testament saints, to us. Verse 27, to them, to the saints, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles this, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, here's the mystery, here's what's been revealed, which is Christ, what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't know if you realize how exciting that truth is, that the Son of God lives in us. You understand that was kind of hidden in the Old Testament. When the Old Testament saints thought of God, they always pictured God like out there. God's on Mount Sinai. Scary. God's in the tabernacle. God's in the temple. It isn't until we come to the New Testament that we discover the amazing truth that all of us, our bodies, are temples, and Jesus Christ comes to live inside of us. The hope of glory. It's because Christ lives in us, we have this hope that we're going to live in eternity, in heaven, in His glory. So that was a mystery. Hidden in the Old Testament, revealed in the New. I'll give you another mystery. Ephesians chapter 5. Now this is funny, because obviously I knew I was going to preach on this about 2 weeks ago, because it's the next thing. I'm just going right in order through the book of Corinthians. And I'm going, I mean, I know I took a break last week for Father's Day, but I knew this was the next passage to preach on. So Ephesians chapter 5. Here's another mystery. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He's talking about marriage. This is a profound what? Mystery, meaning something that was hidden in the Old Testament, not totally revealed, but now revealed in the New Testament. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. So in other words, the marriage in the Old Testament, people viewed marriage as, okay, it's a husband and wife that get married, I don't know, to have children, to have a fulfilling sexual life, to retire together and get old. But what was hidden in the Old Testament but revealed in the New is God says, there's something way more significant about marriage than just having kids or having a fulfilling sex life. And that is, it's actually an amazing symbol of Christ and the church. The husband represents Christ as the bridegroom, and the wife represents the bride of Christ, which is the church. And though denominations and other people are trying to redefine what marriage is, and everyone has different definitions of marriage. Over in Muslim countries, they go, well, it could be a husband with four wives. That'd be like Christ married to Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists. Oh, no, no, that's not the way marriage is supposed to be. There's one groom and there's one bride. There's one Christ and there's one church. Or some people go, no, well, Christ is married to Christ, or the church is married. No. You know, everyone's kind of redefining what marriage is. Unfortunately, I have to tell you that marriage is the way God set it up, was one man to one woman. Because it's a mystery. It was symbolic, though hidden in the Old Testament, that Christ marries the church. And I wish I could tell you that I can change and redefine what marriage is, but unfortunately, there's a warning in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. At the last chapter of the book of Revelation, there's this warning to all preachers especially. Do not add to the word. Do not take away from the word. Or you don't get to share in the tree of life in heaven. So I don't know. I see, I want to go to heaven. I want to eat from the tree of life. So I can't just randomly decide, well, I'm going to change God's word and take that out and put this in and stuff like that. I'd rather die first than change anything in the word of God. It's a mystery. So two amazing mysteries. God actually lives in us. Amazing. The Son of God lives in us. Second mystery is marriage. Wow, it pictures when Christ marries the church. And here's the third mystery again, 1 Corinthians 15. Not all of us are going to die. Now, all the mysteries you can actually find kind of hidden in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, was there anyone who didn't die? Was there anyone in the Old Testament who didn't die? Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and then God said, hey, why don't you come home to heaven with me? And Enoch did not die. He went to heaven. How about anyone else? Elijah. Okay, so you see, the truth that not all of us are going to die was kind of there. It was hidden, but now it's revealed that at the coming of Jesus, not, if we're still alive when Jesus comes back, we are not going to die. Well, let's read this. Verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash. Mystery. Here's the rapture. In a flash, there's a new TV show on. I see a commercial for it. The Flash, right? So the flash to me is the flash of lightning. As the lightning flashes from one end of the sky to the other, so, you know, Jesus is going to gather the elect. It'll be that quick. In the twinkling of an eye. Oh, I got the eye right there. I couldn't get a picture of the twinkling of the eye, okay? But someone says that the twinkling of an eye is 1/50th of a second. Do you realize we all blink our eyes and twinkle our eyes? Do you know that? So they've done studies, and I couldn't believe the study, so I actually calculated it out myself, and I was like, okay. If you drive 8 hours at 60 miles an hour, and you add up the times you blink your eyes and twinkle your eyes, you have your eyes shut for 4 miles of your travels, okay? Some of you have them shut even longer than that, okay? I'm just going to take a little nap while I'm driving here for about 2 minutes. That's why they have those rumble strips. They help keep you on track while you're sleeping, you know? So in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last, what's it say there? At the last trumpet, the dead will be raised imperishable. Those are the saints that have gone on before us. They will get their resurrected body. And then we, if we're alive, we will be changed. Now, don't lose 1 Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 gives us a few more details. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I love this. It's one of my favorite passages to preach on. 1 Thessalonians, of course, I say that every week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Now, some believe that, remember when Lazarus had died and was buried, Jesus goes into the cemetery and he says, Lazarus! Come forth. I was like, he has to say Lazarus. Because if Jesus went, come forth, then all the dead would come forth. So he had to be specific. Lazarus, come forth with a command. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, God calls the apostle John to heaven to see what's going to happen. And he goes, come forth, come up here. So there will be a loud command. Believers, resurrect. And then there'll be the voice of the archangel. Michael or Gabriel will shout out. And what we think the voice of the archangel is when the archangel sends the angels to gather the elect. We know from Matthew and all that Jesus is going to send the angels and they will gather the elect from the four winds of the earth. And I don't know how the angels are going to gather us. I don't know if the angels will just, one angel will come on one side and one angel on the other and grab us and up we go. I don't know if Elijah, when the angels came for Elijah, how did they come? In a taxi cab, right? And so they come with this chariot of fire, and like, Elijah, jump on board. You know, and Elijah gets in a chair. I don't know. I know there's flying horses in heaven. I know that when we come back before the millennium, we're on flying horses. I don't know the angels are going to come, Joe, here's your horse. And we get on a horse. I don't know. But I just know the voice of the archangel, angels, go collect them. Go get them. And then it says, so the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the, what? The trumpet call of God, okay? And the dead in Christ will rise first. So all the saints that have gone on before for the last thousands of years, their souls and spirits that are in the presence of God are going to come back. They're going to go into the resurrected bodies. They're going to resurrect out of the graves. I know if you have your loved one in an urn, yeah, it's not as traumatic to have the lid pop off the urn and the ashes resurrect. It's more exciting to break out of the coffin, in my opinion. But anyway, you know, the dead in Christ will resurrect. And then, after that, verse 17, so they resurrect first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. The word caught up is in Greek, is the word arpazo. That's where we get the word rapture from. It was the Latin interpretation of caught up. It means to catch up, to grab with force. And so we get caught up, we get raptured up together with them, with the saints that are already in heaven. They get resurrected first, then we get changed, and then we get caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. And then, of course, I'm pre-trib, then we go back to heaven for the 7 years. So I want you to look at the trumpet, because in both passages, it says in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about the trumpet call of God. I need you to come back to the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 10. Come to Numbers chapter 10, because this is the main section. This is, people who knew their Bible would know about Numbers 10, because that's when they were given directions about the trumpets. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers 10. Do you have like a heading before chapter 10? The silver trumpets. So take a look at this. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, make two trumpets of hammered silver and use them. And there are two reasons they would use these trumpets. Use them for, reason number one is for calling the community together. And then here's reason number two, and for having the camps, what? Set out. So, and then I want you to jump down for a second, just the verse. Verse 4 talks about the leaders coming together. Verse 5, when a trumpet blast is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. At the sounding of a second blast, the camps on the south are to set out. The blast will be a signal for setting out. And actually, it looks like that the tabernacle, God's presence was in the middle, and three tribes camped to the north, three tribes camped to the south, three tribes camped to the east, and three tribes camped to the west. And so as they would sound the trumpets, the tribes, you know, first the tribes of the east would head out, and then the north would head out, and then the south would head out, and they would move out. Okay, so this is my thought. So God begins to sound the trumpets, the trumpet, and the dead in Christ rise first. And then those of us that are still alive will be caught up with them. And I keep wondering, like, if God sounds the trumpets and the believers of Europe head out, and then the believers of Africa head out, and then the believers from North and South America head out, and then the believers from Asia head out. Did you watch the Olympics, the Winter Olympics? Did you notice that they have these big openings, and in the openings in that huge coliseum that they built, you know, they would have each country one at a time come out like a big parade. Did you see that at all? And kind of at the end. So all the athletes, they would announce, all right, the athletes from Norway, and all the athletes, and everyone would cheer, and they'd come with their flag, and all the athletes from Norway would head out, and then from Sweden, and then from, you know, different Gabon and United States, and everyone would be cheering. And I have to wonder, did we get that because God's built that kind of into us? Because he's going to blow the trumpets, just as the different tribes would head out to move on as God's leading them, to gather them together and to set out, that if God's going to be like just calling the Christians from the different countries, and it's just going to be exciting when we see all the born-again Christians coming out of the different countries up into the clouds to be with the saints that have already gone on before, or maybe, you know, maybe the saints from Gabon will come back. They'll get their resurrected bodies, and then those that are alive will be caught. I don't know. I just know it's going to be exciting. And I know when the trumpet sounds, we're all gathered together in the clouds, and then we head out to heaven. That's what the Jews understood the trumpets. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, looking. At this point, I should have someone play a trumpet just to give us a little chill, huh? It'd be exciting. All right. Verse 53. For the perishable, our bodies are perishable. They're disposable. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now, see, death is an enemy. I got a picture of death here. Oh, let me go back. Here's death. Death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. When the rapture occurs, it's going to be, I got to go back here. Death has been swallowed up in victory. But right now, death is an enemy. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then the end will come when he, that's Jesus, hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. Death is an enemy. Death isn't natural. Death is an enemy. And what ministers death to all of us? Look at verse 56. The sting of death is what? Sin. So it is sin, and I have a scorpion here. Or the illustration could be a bee. Anyone allergic to bees or scorpions? Yeah, I am. When I get stung with a bee now, I break out in hives. I've got to take Benadryl, or I could die, I guess. Because they say that not only do you have hives on the outside of your body, but you could have hives on the inside of your body. And so, but death has victories. Death is an enemy, and death wants to put us all into the grave. And so I'm reading about all the wars, and it's just sickening. It's just sickening reading through thousands of years of all the wars of men killing each other, and death, when death puts you into the grave, it's hard to see, but that's actually a grave there with some flowers on it. When death puts you into the grave, death is like, I won! I got him again! I keep winning over and over again. We're all fighting this enemy, death. Every time you get sick, you're fighting the enemy, death. Some of you survive to fight another battle, another day. And some of us go down in defeat. But all these wars, I mean, it's just like death loves war. I get to kill World War II. I get to kill 80 million people in 4 years' time. Iraq, I'm reading about ISIS, and I'm just sick because it reminds me of World War II and Hitler. ISIS, 1,500 Iraq policemen and soldiers say, we surrender, we didn't fight, we surrender. And ISIS says, oh, okay, surrender, oh, good. Come on over here. They line them up and then shoot them all dead because they're like, we're not taking any prisoners. I'm like, it's Hitler. I thought we've advanced in the world. I thought we are so smart now. And we're back to just shooting people down. And death is like, yes, another victory, another victory. Instead of victory, you could say, death has, I got my trophy here. Every time death puts you in the grave, it gets another trophy. So this is a trophy. I've only won two trophies in my life. In the 70s, I won disco, roller skating disco. Okay? And then this second one, I just won this, was it this year? This is the Slick Ettinger pool. They, at their home, Slick attends the first service. They have pool, and I actually got second place. Not because I actually won, but they would hit the black ball in wrong or the white ball. I don't know what. I just know that they would lose. And they would go, Joe, you pastor, you win. Though I didn't really deserve it, but I would win because they would mess up their shot. But it was good. I got a trophy. Look, every grave is a trophy to death. Death goes, I won again. I won again. I won wars. I win. Famine. Famine kills millions of people every year. Death goes, more trophies. Illnesses, heart attacks, cancer, falling off a ladder, getting hit in a car accident. Death goes, yeah, I won. I won. I won again. And more trophies. Cemeteries are just trophies of death. Death is an enemy, and he's constantly winning. He says, yes, I win. I won again. Till the rapture happens. And when the rapture happens, and the spirits, death is so excited because he's got everyone's body like trophies in their cabinets. People put trophies in their cupboards. Death has got all his trophies all over the earth. And he's like, yeah. And death is like, I win. Because, you see, we shouldn't be without our bodies in heaven. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll see that we're naked in heaven because we need bodies. God's creating a new heaven and a new earth, and we need bodies to live on the new heaven and the new earth. And so Satan and death is excited that, they didn't get their bodies. But at the rapture, the souls and spirits of those who have died come back. They resurrect first. Those of us that are still alive, we don't even get to die. Our bodies are transformed, and we're gathered in the clouds. And to me, as we're on our way to heaven, we're going to look back, and this is what we're going to say. So look at verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, that's when we're get our heavenly bodies, we're in the clouds, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And here's what we shout back. So here's the empty grave. Here's, as we're going up to glory, as we're going up to heaven, this is the saying we're going to say back to death, back to the tomb we get resurrected out. We're going to go, where, O death, is your what? We're going to go, death, where's your trophy? Death, where's that body that of Joe that you had in the grave, in the tomb? Where is it? Because God resurrected the believers from the dead. And so we're going to, it's kind of like a mocking. Death, you lost. You thought you had us. And it says there, where, O death, is your sting? See, it's sin. The wages of sin is death. It is because of sin that death wins. Okay? Because of Adam and Eve's sin, war, everything that happens to us is because of sin. And sin puts all of us. We all get stung by sin. I'm out of time. We all get stung by sin. And that's what eventually something puts us, sin puts us into the grave. Death wins because of sin. I'm always amazed when I talk to Christians and go, well, why did that person die? And they go, oh, Pastor, smoking. They had the sin of smoking in their life. They sinned. Sin put them into the grave. Or the sin of drugs. Or the sin of immorality or whatever. But I have to laugh because sin puts what? All of us into the grave, okay? All of us, because we're sinners, get put. See, some is quicker, and some of us are slower. But eventually, we get enough stingers of sin, and the poison is by, well, you can read the rest of that verse. All of us get put into the grave because of the stinger, which is sin. But praise God, we're going to go, where, O death, is your sting? And the stings of sin are removed because of Jesus Christ. So verse 57, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.